Hello everyone, I'm George from Ireland. Well, thank you for coming back to my channel. This is about the Employment Rights Bill, which is before the Parliament of the United Kingdom, proposed by the Labour government. Now, it's applicable across Great Britain. I'm not quite sure if it applies to Northern Ireland or not. This is the curious thing with this asymmetric devolution. The Parliament of the United Kingdom is for the United Kingdom, but particularly England and so forth. Some matters are devolved, others not, and sometimes it's unclear what's devolved and what isn't. Anyhow, it was in Labour's manifesto, and they won the election the 4th of July last year. Sir Keir Starmer is Prime Minister for the moment, but he won't be here this time next year. You can bet your bottom dollar. Right, so there are several proposals in said bill. One of them is that the right not to be unfairly dismissed is going to kick in from the first day of employment. Previously, it took over took 2 years. Now, there's the right not to be discriminated against, and they're not the same thing. And I didn't even use to understand this. So you could be unfairly dismissed up to 2 years into your employment, and it would have no cause of action. But if you were dismissed and it was discriminatory, then you would have a cause of action from day one. Okay, now statutory sick pay is going to kick in instantly. It used to be after a few months, I can't remember how many. So, you know, your first day of work, you call in ill. Okay, they've got to pay you for that day of work and so on. Likewise, paternity leave and other parental rights, they were only applicable after you worked there for a certain length of time. I don't recall what it was. Is going to say that the default setting will be flexible working. And it'll be up to the onus will be on to employers to say that that's not practicable. Okay, so employers have got to offer flexi time. So rather than doing 8 hours 5 days a week, you might do 12 hours one day and 4 hours another day, and then eight and eight and eight, or whatever, or 4 hours, maybe take a 4 hour lunch break, come back for another 4 hours, whatever suits you. They were going to say no more 0 hours contract. They're going to have to offer guaranteed contracts if they're regular patterns, right? But people can say no to those if they want. You'll be not allowed to dismiss people or whatever, downsize people, and then rehire them with terms which are less favorable than before, unless they're extraordinary circumstances. I don't know what counts as extraordinary circumstances. Okay, there's a low pay commission. It's going to look at the cost of living, and they will increase the minimum wage. I remember you can do some part-time work from the age of 16. You work full-time at the age of 18. You used to be able to work from the age of 12, but only sort of like 10 hours a week or something in term time. If you want to do work a few hours on Saturday or Sunday as a waiter or cleaner or a couple of hours after school, that was okay. I'm not sure if that's even allowed now. Okay, so the youngest workers had lowest rates of pay, which made them attractive to hire. But the idea is they probably weren't fully providing themselves because their parents were providing for them. And, you know, less reliable generally, more likely to make mistakes because such is the folly of youth. And so we get one. So they said there'll be greater protections at work if you want to complain about things such as sexual harassment. There will be a new enforcement body to make sure that employment rights are upheld. Okay, previously, if you want to bring a claim, there was a deadline to that. They're going to extend that. I don't know by how much. And they're going to be protection for the self-employed, as in you can have, you're entitled to a written contract, action against late payments and so on. Health and safety protections are now going to be applicable to the self-employed and so forth. But the trouble is, who's responsible for that? The self-employed people can work for dozens of organizations. They're all responsible. What if you work for one much more than the other? Anyway, so it's putting an extra burden on employers, making it harder to employ people. Therefore, they're going to employ fewer people and go to AI. But, you know, I'll get onto my little hobby horse a bit later. There's going to be more rights about collective bargainings. So anyway, you won't be able to restrict trade unions. So they're going to have better recognition. I don't really understand how it's going to be better. Collective bargaining is when you try to negotiate with management to say, we want more pay, better safety equipment, more staffing levels, you know, whatever, shorter hours of work, longer holidays. I'm not sure what other sort of benefits. Okay, so Labour says they want to make work pay. Well, you could easily do that by reducing benefits for those who are out of work, or anyway, plan for change to raise productivity. But this is guaranteed to drive productivity down. And the United Kingdom has also already got fairly low productivity, one of the lowest in Europe or indeed the Western world. Britannia Unchained by Kwasi Kwarteng. very briefly chart the Exchequer, he says that Britishers are the worst idlers in the world. And one of the things is the sort of the chair warming tendency. You've had jobs where had to be there for 8 hours, even when there's nothing to do, and they had like 3 hours of work and just wasn't allowed to go home. If you actually gave me work to do, we had to, like, I know someone said, I've got to be there before the boss and go home after him. So spend 10, 11 hours there, even if there's nothing to do, you've got to look like you're busy. And that's really bad, surely. So but if you actually worked every minute you were there, the hours would be much, much shorter. And obviously sometimes work from home, but that's difficult to monitor. Are they actually working from home? So the House of Lords is against, and they say that taking away the unfair dismissal compensation caps will make things very, very expensive. Unfair dismissal, you know, some people are very, very well paid over £1 million a year. It'd be an astronomical payouts. So we're reluctant to hire these people, because if you ever have to get rid of them, if they ever dismiss them, the person brings a claim successfully, the compensation will just sort of bankrupt the organization. Okay, so the government is determined to railroad this through. They may override the House of Lords veto. But you think the Salisbury Convention, the chamber appears as unlikely to block it, even though they're legally entitled to do so, because that convention, which emerged out of the Second World War, with the Marquess of Salisbury, the Tory leader in the upper house, said, if it's in the manifesto, we shan't block it. But remember that is not a law, it's any convention. And the constitutionality of thwarting something in the manifesto was proven when the House of Lords voted down some Brexit legislation under Theresa May's government. Okay, so the only time they'd ever done it. Anyway, so Labour's appointed more peers to try and get this through. So this is bad for all sorts of reasons, in that it's going to mean that unemployment goes up even more. It's gone up sharply under Labour in only not even 18 months. Okay. So it's going to be more expensive to employ people. It's going to be a bonanza for barristers and solicitors in employment law. Okay, so it's going to make more people could be abusing calling in sick when they're not. It's going to be more difficult to run any business. More people are going to strike and so on. So it's going to make things incredibly complicated. What a nightmare. It's going to drive up costs for businesses, and they're going to pass it on to consumers. Profit margins are going to go down. Some businesses are going to go bust. The Confederation of British Industry, the British Chambers of Commerce, and the Federation of Small Businesses is going to be terrible. They're going to be strangled by red tape. So anyway, it's bad news. The market won't like it. Businesses were mostly not consulted. They were disregarded. Businesses, serious doubts and concerns and warnings were ridden roughshod over. So Conservative Unionist Party says it's unduly onerous, and it's certainly going to have very negative repercussions for the economy. So there are going to be a lot more jobless people as a result. UK is going to lose its competitive edge, what little it has. So it's bad for the economy. So you can see all the negative effects this is going to have. Wow. So this makes people even more litigious. So bad news from Labour, not surprising. The trades union barons want this. I'm not completely against trades unions. I'm a member of one myself. What do you think about this? Angela Rayner is all behind it. Now, admittedly, it's been watered down a little, because even Labour recognises that some of this will be disastrous. But Mrs. Rayner cut her teeth as a trades union official. So that's why she's determined to have this. So, you know, it'd be lovely for the public sector, because they can just call in sick all the time or whatever. If even a distant cousin dies, have time off work. So that's bad for the business. New mothers, if they underperform work, they won't be able to be performance managed out. And I realize it can be difficult play habit with her hormones or whatever, but that's more difficult for business. I mean, how are we going to cope? I mean, some young mothers don't find this difficult. What is to be done? I mean, it's wonderful that people give birth and have children, but is this overly protective? Should they not just have to cope? If you're going to have children, that's joyful, but there are some negative consequences. You either accept that or you don't have children. How about that? All right. Thanks for watching my channel. Make sure you subscribe on Patreon. Donate PayPal, georgecannon790@gmail.com. Goodbye.